You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey everybody, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. I'm Clint Clifton, and Dave Prophet and Colby Garman are back with me today. We are talking today in our very first episode of 2023 about setting yourself up for a great year. Now, if you're like me, you look back over the past, 3 years, and you think, wow, those could have gone better. You know, that wasn't as planned. And so, you know, we all have this sense that planning doesn't prepare us really for, like, say, pandemics or things like that. However, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be thinking about the future. We shouldn't be planning so that we can execute our ministry task as best possible, in the best way possible. So today, I'm going to talk to the two of these guys, been in ministry for a long time, about planning your year. So Colby serves as a teaching pastor at a church near Quantico, Virginia, Pillar Church of Dumfries. And he's been an international missionary, and he's got 4 daughters, and he's married. And Dave also is married to Shirley, a lovely lady who serves alongside him in ministry. He's been a mentor of mine for many years. He's planted churches. He's a revitalizer right now. He's been a foreign missionary. I mean, Dave's just kind of done it all. He's a consummate evangelist. Every time I'm with him, he's sharing Jesus with somebody and passionate about making disciples too. So thank you, both of you, for being here today.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
All right, Dave, let's start with you. You've done a lot of ministry. You got a lot of ministry under your belt. How important is planning the year before the year begins?
Yes, I think it's really important. And we talked about, you know, should you just get together with yourself and at your table or talking to your wife or your kids or whatever, or should you get together with your key ministry? I think the important thing is to get together with your key ministry people. These guys are, and these men and women are, like, sharp. They've got great ideas and they're gifted, and you can get together with yourself or with your family. That'd be fine. But it's so much better if you can get together with a team, people that have come there for the express purpose of helping to start this church, and just, yeah, go over things, plan what you're going to do for the new year. Sometimes it just doesn't work out real well because people are so busy now, and I don't have time, or I can't be there, or I can't do that then, or I can't meet with other people, or I can't meet with you, but at least give it a try. I think planning is really, really good. And, you know, planning is a lot of, with just you and God and meditation too. And you come up with a lot of really great things if you take the time to spend some time with God.
Talk to the Lord about it. Yeah. It's so funny. We work for Jesus. We're building Jesus's church, and you're so right. I mean, so often I run about doing Jesus's business and never stop to ask him what he thinks, you know? Wow. And, so that's key.
And you know, the thing is like, we always talk about having biblical ministries, but you know, even when we're planning, you know, are we planning with our Bibles close by and open? Mm. And are we referencing them? That's why I think that, you know, like when I go to revitalize a church or I'm starting a church, one of the first things I'll do is I'll start with the book that I'll teach is the operational manual for the church. Yeah. And the book that's the operational manual for the church is the book of Ephesians. I used to really like promote Acts because it is so important. It talks about, you know, how Paul discipled, how he taught the church, and how he evangelized. And he did it through dialoguing and persuading. And he's always talking about those things from chapter 17 through 20 in the book of Acts. But I think and everything is right there. It's all just packaged, all your questions. So you've got some people that they're involved with Reformed, you know, theology, and other people, you know, that they come into the fellowship, they're maybe more the classical theology. And so he starts talking about predestination, and he moves right on to, you have to believe. You know what I mean? It's like everything's like right there in the first chapter. It's really great. It solves a lot of the issues and the difficulties and the problems for you. You know, right at the end of the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, he tells you exactly kind of, he outlines the way that the church is supposed to be expressed. Okay. And so in the first chapter, he talks about it being the body of Christ. That's Paul's most important term for the church. When he lays down his statement of faith in the fourth chapter, he says one body is the first thing that he mentions. Have you ever noticed that? Okay. That's always bothered me. Why does he do that? Why does he start off with the theology of God? He always starts off with a theology of the body, because that's his favorite theme about the church. So he talks about that at the end of chapter one. Chapter two, he talks about Christ being the cornerstone. That means all alignment and trajectory for the church is to be set off Jesus Christ. If you guys have probably done some bricklaying or block laying or done, you know, some carpentry stuff. Man, if you don't put that plumb line down and you don't stick with it, you're in trouble like the next day, right? And right. So just set on that alignment with Christ. And then the third thing that he talks about is that it's an ecclesia. That means we're called out. We're called out. We're to be different and we're to be active. And I think that's the emphasis of being those called out people. Mm.
Yeah. And one of the things that makes me think of hearing Dave talk about that is the fact that planning is important, because those sort of priorities that you need to align the church around, you're the most likely person to care about them deeply. You will either plan to advance the key things of the life of the church over that year, or someone else is going to plan those things for you. They're going to put the pressure on you. They're going to ask for things. And if you haven't decided what you want to accomplish in any given year at the beginning, you're not likely to make many strides down the path. And so it's really important that we give plenty of time to think about the things we want to be priorities in a given year.
Have some structure, even if it says just that biblical structure from the book of Ephesians, you know, have some structure. That's so good, Colby. That's so excellent, man. It's awesome.
Colby, talking about the church that you're leading, how do you go about approaching a year when it's coming up upon you?
Yeah. You know, from a planning standpoint, we see our year in three phases, and January 1 isn't actually really the beginning of our ministry year. The beginning of our ministry year is August 1, and maybe this will help some other people think about this. And that's because we're in a heavy military community where families PCS in June and July. That means by the time August 1 rolls around, people want to know what's going on in the life of the church. Now, that's hard for us because for many people, it's high summer. We're kind of scattered to the wind. And so I actually have to exert energy to prepare us for August 1 being as organized and ready to begin the new initiatives or the things that need to happen during that time. And so we think of August 1 through about November right now as a gathering phase. This is a time when, you know, our church turns over a third or more every year. And this is the time when we are trying to help utilize the strength of the body to make those new connections, to take advantage of the opportunities that come with upheaval, of sharing the gospel with new people, of attaching new people to the life of the church and ministry and mission so that they can be encouraged and strengthened for the next round that we're going to get into. Then when we come into this time of year, we're thinking about building the body up. We got lots of people who've been gathered. We're thinking about now, how do we strengthen, use this time strategically in our teaching between now and say the end of March to be able to really root people in the truth. And we want to focus on the sort of training things that happen during that time that will really do that. So we're going to be more training focused for the next few months. And then when we start to hit March, we're starting to think about preparing leaders for the next round. We're going to say goodbye to, you know, like in a church of 250, 300, we're going to say goodbye to 80 to 100 people next summer. And so I know that I have to begin talking to the church and behind the scenes training leaders to ready them in April and May and June, so that when July and August come around, we're prepared to continue to do the things that we need to be effective.
That's great. Dave, let me ask you this. So as we make plans, I think of that passage that says, you know, man makes his plans, the Lord directs his steps. We make plans, but I think of you as a person who operates largely by what he senses is going on spiritually around him, and a sense of what the Spirit's doing in the moment at the time. Is it a contradiction to plan and also be open to the spiritual work going on around you and sort of the moments and the opportunities that arise, or can those two things coexist in some way?
And that's a great question. That's why our key people, our team members, are these brilliant people that God has got together, and gifted people, because a lot of what the direction the church needs to go is not necessarily going to come from the pastor, but it's going to come from all these gifted people that God has assembled together to be that basis, that essence, that foundation for the church. Mm-hmm. So if you touch bases with them and say, you know, what do you see? What's going on in your heart? How's God speaking to you? And we go to each person and we ask them that. Then we get these things that the pastor would never even think of, or even have the ability to address.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. Yeah. I think of times, as you say that, I think of times in our ministry where a person, you know, just had an idea that I, in a million lifetimes, I never would have come up with, you know, and it was just something that became such a blessing to our church or reached other people because we had the conversation and gave them the opportunity to voice an opinion or a thought. That's really good.
Yeah. I think, you know, the two thoughts I always keep in mind every year is I want to make a plan. What do I want to accomplish? But I want to be prepared to pivot where I see God working. And the plan helps set the tone. It sets the direction. So I think somebody who right now is thinking about the new year, this can be a fresh time. Everybody starts thinking about new things. If you want to kick something off, start thinking about it. Set the tone, set the direction. But you're going to see God working in things, and I never want to miss an opportunity. I feel like the dynamic work of the Spirit brings opportunities by that I can't anticipate next year, and I want to be ready to pivot and go all in when the Lord is doing something unique in the circumstances that surround me.
Yeah. Colby, when I think about you, we worked together really closely for years. We've seen the inside of each other's homes and families and ministries in incredible levels. And
scary
I think
levels.
Scary levels. Yeah. I think when I think about you, I respect you in the area of creating healthy margins for sustainability. Maybe it's the only way I can think to say it. What sort of practices are you thinking about in your own life as you plan, you know, your family, the capacity your family has, your financial capacity, not just the financial capacity of the church and the schedule of the church, but thinking about that in terms of you being able to go the long haul with the church. How do you think about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think about this from a place of weakness. You know, whatever appears to be a strength, I think has been a recognition that I've got a lot of deep ambition that is unsatisfied all the time. And I've had to learn to realize with all my plans, I mean, I want to accomplish about three times as much every year as we've ever accomplished, as I've ever personally accomplished in my life, or the church has accomplished in any given time. And so I live with a sort of dissatisfaction that I've got to learn to deal with. And part of that is then just learning what to do with that dissatisfaction and recognizing my own limits. And I think that's helped me embrace the fact that there's probably some part of the fall that has affected how ambitious I am and how much satisfaction I get from that. And I've had to bring that to the Lord and say, God, you've put some limits around me that if I let this go free, I'm going to destroy that. I'm going to destroy my family. I'm going to hurt my wife. I'm going to injure the church. People are going to be perpetually discouraged around me. And I don't want that to be the case. So I've had to learn to accept a sense of the limitations of God and rejoice that he brings things about at his own pace, and it's not all on me. And it's, you know, pridefully, I think, you know, my effort is so important to creating momentum and building all that. But then to address that pride in me, I've had to sort of counter myself by putting myself into disciplines where I just trust the Lord and look for the long-term effects that God can bring. And at the end of the day, I think God can do the most if I'm still doing this in 20 years instead of if I work really hard for the next 20 weeks. Totally. And so I want to be here in this fight, healthy, rejoicing, encouraging, able to show up for people, give to people 20 years from now in ministry. I'm 43 right now, and I look forward to the next 20 years of ministry because I've gathered all of this experience over the past 20 years that I want to utilize from a healthy place. And so to me, it's been strategic. God may take me today, and I want to be urgent at all times, but He also may leave me here for 20 years and multiply the impact I can have on others by just sustaining that work with joy and running the race patiently.
Yeah, Dave, I'm watching you smile as you hear Colby talk about this. You're in the midst of that 20 years that he's hoping
for. I'm way past it.
Well, you were saying on our last episode, I was just kind of jarred when you said it, that you were a combat veteran in Vietnam,
right,
which is in the Vietnam War. Well, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, in your today still serving the Lord in ministry and in revitalization and church planting, what in the world has kept you able to do that for so long when on every side ministers are burning out, flaking out, flaming out all over the place? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, my son says, Dad, the reason why you ended up in Vietnam in 1969 as a 19-year-old and as a combat Marine, I was an 0311. And Colby, you know what that is. That's a basic grunt, you know. And he says the reason why God took you through that is because he was calling you, he was going to be calling you into the ministry. So I thought that was kind of interesting. My brother's not even a Christian, but he had the insight to see that. You know, you've got to be crushed and then you're called. And that's the way that you stay. That's, I mean, because when you're self-destructive and you're ready to just throw it all in, drive your car off a cliff, you know, just end it all. And then God says, nope, I've got plans for you. And how can you get to a lower place in your life? Everybody in the church can be hating you. They can kick you out. You can have no money. Everything can go bad, wrong. You're getting criticized. People are ruining your reputation, all the things that can go wrong. But what could be worse than you saying, this is the day I wish that I could not be alive anymore. And so it's probably not going to get any worse than that day. Mm-hmm. And then, so when God calls you in the ministry and you're so beat up and you're so crushed and you're so broken, and then he gives you life, he gives you the opportunity to see something that's like encouraging and something that's optimistic. And he actually sees you, you actually see that he has made something of you and that you can be productive and you can help and you can bless and, you know, you can change people's lives and you can make something of yourself. And then you have to, then you have something to fall back on. But if you just get called because your friends are getting called in, or you think it's a good idea or maybe a good career, you're probably not going to stay very long.
Yeah, I mean, what Dave's saying is, I think what I was trying to get to is accepting that we are limited, weak people serving a great God is how you avoid burnout.
Yeah.
Because when you believe that, you can take a break. You know, there's times where I've just had to take breaks and I've got to plan breaks into my schedule and everybody, there's lots of systems people can do. But if you believe too highly about yourself, you won't be able to do that. And if you're not rooted in a deep sense of appreciation that God would even allow you to serve in this way, you'll probably burn out because you've got to keep perpetuating that myth in everybody's minds that you are great. And as soon as you accept that you're not, well, some of what makes burnout and the ambition, like the deep ambition in me, you know, is a matter of pride. And so if God wants to use me in a humble way in two or three people's lives in the rest of my ministry, I need to come to grips with the fact that that's more powerful than I could have done on my own.
Yeah.
And when that's the case, then we can rest, we can pace ourselves and prepare ourselves to be around when there's real opportunities that God has prepared us for.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And Clint and Colby, you know, God always surprises us. Like, you know, you'll finish up with a Sunday and you'll say, oh my gosh, that was like terrible. And you'll go, you know, I don't think I can do this for another day. I'm not really even helping people and I'm embarrassing myself. So, you know what I mean? And then the next day you wake up after an hour of prayer and, you know, you're rested. And then maybe you go back and you look at some part of your Bible study and you say, hey, that was actually pretty good. And you know what I mean? Yeah. And this happens to me all the time. And then you just get revived. God just revitalizes you. It's God that revitalizes you.
Yeah.
Because if it was just you, you would bail. You know,
I don't know about you guys, but I have. I commonly have the experience of feeling like I totally messed something up royally, and walk away from it feeling like it was absolutely awful, and then I get a message from somebody who talks about how profound and life changing you know what I did was, and then there are other times where I step away from a step off a stage or something, and I feel like, man, that changed a lot of lives. That was really good. and it's crickets and you don't hear anything. And it just is every time that happens to me, it's a reminder that the Lord does whatever he does in the mysterious ways behind the scenes in spiritual ways that I don't understand. Sometimes you get the privilege of kind of getting a sense of what the Lord's doing, but often we don't know. We have no idea what he's doing. Our work is worship. We offer it to God because we love him, and he does with our work what he sees fit.
Yeah. And this is a funny conversation to have right in the middle of a podcast on planning, but but I think it's so crucial because we're essentially saying we should plan. But also we need to, the way to avoid burnout is realizing that the hidden work of God is more important than our plans.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I want to plan because I'm ambitious and the time is urgent and it's right. short. And I believe what the Bible says. I also want to accept what God's going to do this year. And, because I'm weak and the hidden things that he does are so much more powerful. And so for me to believe that God only accomplished in the work of the ministry around me, whatever I planned and prioritized, that is foolish. There's so much more going on that I will never see, that I may just be a part of fueling and helping and supporting. And I've got to believe that and walk by faith if I'm going to not only plan well, but I'm going to endure.
Yeah. Dave, let me finish by asking you the question. Again, you've done a lot of church planting in a lot of different contexts over a long period of time. Yeah. What, and you've observed a lot of church planners, what should new church planners be filling their schedule with when they start?
Well, and you know, and I'm sorry that they're just the biblical priorities, but man, if you're not a person of prayer, you might as well just like forget it. And you've got to like commit to like an hour or something every, you know, I just can't get away from prayer. And I end up doing an hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. And then we got it. As a church planner, you've got to commit to evangelism. You've got to learn how to connect with people. And the way you connect is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And as you look at everybody as more important than yourself, and you look at their interests as more important than your interests. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul says there. Yeah. And so what is everybody's favorite topic? It's themselves. So you connect with people by talking to them about themselves. They will talk to you forever. They will think that it's the best conversation they've ever had. And it's easy to drift over from that to a spiritual, you know, context. We've got to, and then also you've got to, a person has got to be a servant, and you've got to teach, you've got to be a servant leader. You guys believe in that. You know that. So Jesus says the most important thing about leading is being a servant. Paul says the most important thing about leading is being diligent. Okay, that's the word that he uses, Romans chapter 12. And then we need to train, and we need to disciple, and we need to mentor, and we need to coach, and we need to recruit. And the word for disciple, a lot of people don't know this, but this was easy for me to discover. So it's the Greek word mathetes. So the root word for disciple is the word math. And discipleship is hard because math is hard. It's the same root. I am terrible at math. And discipleship has those built-in, you know, like sabotage-like components, and just like the topic of math does. And so just remember, discipleship is going to be hard because math is important, and that's the root of the Greek word. And the word means to apprentice. We need to apprentice. We need to be people that become apprenticed and apprentice others. If you've ever been in an apprenticeship program, you know how technical and how specific and how you know, detailed it is. And that's how detailed and specific and intentional we need to be with another person when we're taking them through the process.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. If you're a church planner, I hope that this inspires you to take a break, pause for a moment, evaluate where you've been and where you need to go, and employ some help from your team members and your friends and your family to help you plan for a great 2023. Thanks.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.